Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Hi guys, I'm super excited because I have another episode coming your way. As you know, for the month of March, I've decided to do something special and get guests that are not exactly New York natives, but people who have been living here for a while or visiting, and the requirement is that they have to have an accent. It's pretty silly, but to be honest, it's kind of fun for me. So today I have Isis Lowe. She is a fashion and lifestyle influencer. Really interesting because she's actually from Europe, and I'll let her speak to her origin and background in a little bit. But I've come to know Isis, I think, honestly, last summer, correct?
Yes.
And we've just been obviously just vibing and just, I was like, she has such an interesting story, which she'll share in a little bit, but I wanted her to get on here. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So would you like to tell the audience just about your upbringing, where you grow up, where you've grown up, and just your experience with moving to New York?
So I am half French, half Lebanese. I've traveled a lot with my parents, but mostly spent most of my childhood in Paris. And then I went to university there, and then I moved to London to work for an investment bank. Where I spent 10 years and met my husband and had my baby and then moved to New York 2 years ago.
So what was the reasoning for coming to New York?
So my husband works in a hedge fund. He's a partner, and they've started this new hedge fund, and he just heads all the U.S. operations. So we were actually working towards moving to New York one day, and this actually made it happen. So it was actually, we were planning it, and it was a dream come true, so we're very happy to be here now.
So the timing just kind of aligned, correct?
Perfect, yes.
And was there any hesitation knowing that you have a son at the
I'm going to be very honest with you. It was very daunting because, you know, New York is a big, very vibrant city, and a lot of people told me it's not very child-friendly, be careful. But then I came here, before we moved, I came here with my boy, and actually twice, and we loved it. And I've never seen that many strollers in the street. So, I mean, obviously, it depends which area you're in, but we were around the park, walking around. The pavements are very large. There's plenty of space. You don't have to fight like in, you know, London, where it's tiny, everywhere's tiny. So it kind of gave me more reassurance, and we just decided, and I spoke to a lot of parents actually who live here, and they all said to me, honestly, it's extremely child friendly. There's so much to do with children here. Don't worry about it. And actually, that's completely true. We live near the park, so we live towards Columbus Circle, and we absolutely love it there with a child. And we can access the park. There's so many activities outdoors. And the beauty about New York is that you have proper seasons. So it's like you can enjoy every season. You know, the snow, you can enjoy the sun, you can enjoy the parks, the spring, the flowers. So, yeah, my son absolutely loves it here. And he also, like, he goes to preschool, and he's in this class, which is like a melting pot with people from everywhere. And I love that as well. I love that he's mixing with so many people from different, you know, origins, and I think he's like, he just loves it, loves being here.
Does he ever mention about, you know, England at all? Or is he like completely, you know, immersed into the New York life?
Completely immersed in New York. Like for him, home is New York. So.
And so for you, is this permanent?
I think so. Yeah. I hope so. I hope so.
And you mentioned that you were an investment banker.
Yes.
So did you So how did that, how did you depart from that position? And can you talk about your, I guess, like, discovery for fashion and lifestyle and how your blog came about?
So I've always loved fashion. I remember when I was at university, I would do like extra jobs to buy a Gucci bag or, you know, just earn extra money to buy myself some nice things. So, and luckily investment banking job actually helped, you know, it's a lot of money, of course. And I could buy myself some really nice things. And I'd be like enjoying getting dressed in the morning, although no one really appreciated it, but... So I've always been into fashion and nice, you know, like nice, you know, outfits and bags and shoes. And then I used to love my job and I was enjoying it. I used to be a trader and until the crisis happened and it wasn't fun anymore. So it became really stressful and I had health problems. And then my husband just said, you're not enjoying this anymore. I think you should just stop and do something that you like. And at the same time, actually, I started my Instagram while I was still working. And I was posting my outfits every day. And then my following just grew. And, you know, my younger sister, who is much younger than me, she was like, you should do that. You should.
So like, she was kind of the one who gave you that push.
Because she's in fashion. So she studied fashion at Parsons. And she was like, you definitely should do that. Like, you're so good at it. And she showed me how to add the hashtags. So, yeah, this is how it all started. And then one day, it was very stressful. I mean, you know, moving from this career to start something completely new by yourself, it's very stressful. It was I'm not going to lie, it was a difficult time, but once you get going and you know how it works and you meet the right people, I think, and you start seeing results, I think, you just keep going, I think, yeah.
So I'm curious to know, what is the difference between, I guess, blogging in England compared to New York? Because we kind of had this conversation, you know, on our own, just about the maybe like the connections or just the contacts. Is it, do you find New York to be more competitive? I also understand that obviously since you've been here, the social media scene has grown.
Yes.
So that in itself has an effect.
Yes.
But just personally, what is the difference between that industry in England compared to New York?
I think it's more established here. So here, you know, when you work with brands, you have contracts, they know how it works. You know, you fill in your W-9 form, stuff like
that. That process.
Yeah, the process is all well established. They know how it works. And I think brands have been doing it for longer. So England, when I left, it was still beginning, the beginning of everything. And also, I think because of that, people are more willing to work here. So that's the feeling I get. I get more reception here. Like, I get more feedback. People come back to you, they email back, whether it's yes or no, but you always get an answer, which I really appreciate, to be honest, because, you know, you're sitting there waiting. You know what it's like, right?
Yeah.
You wait for an answer that never comes, and you're like, okay, I mean, and you have to chase, and in England, you have to chase them all the time, which I don't necessarily like, but you have to do it. So that's the main difference, I would say. And people, the connections here, I find that people want to meet you more here. They love to meet people. They love to connect with you. It's not something that in England they do a lot, to be honest.
Do you mean for both brands and bloggers?
It's everything. Yeah. It's even your day-to-day life.
Right.
I have to say, they love talking to you in the street here. Like, people will come to you in the street, will talk to you, especially when you have a kid with you. It's like the perfect excuse, you know?
Yeah.
But they just love to connect. And I think it's very particular to New York. It's just people in the street feel like they are very comfortable and they can just talk to you.
It's like, interesting that you mentioned that, actually, because sometimes I feel like New Yorkers are a little too much to themselves.
Really?
Maybe because you're a mom and I'm not, and you are often obviously with your child. And like you said, it does invite...
It does, yeah.
...mother. I think like just the whole like motherhood is a totally different... world. Obviously they're much more kinder and understanding and patient, because I think it takes a certain personality you know,
you're probably right,
perspective.
Yeah.
Mm. But that is interesting, which is why I love bringing people just of different backgrounds to talk, because we all live different lives and have different experiences.
And also remember, I come from Europe, where you don't talk to your neighbor. Mm. Like, no one talks to their neighbor there. So you live in the same building for years and years and you don't talk. It's just the way they are there. But it's fun. I mean, every place is different, I guess, right? But like on the professional side, they always invite you in. They just go, oh, let's go for coffee. Let's do this. Let's do that. Whereas in England, they just prefer to communicate by email.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Because I personally am such a face-to-face person.
Yes, it's so much better. It makes everything like so much better, I think.
Totally. And I think it's important to build relationships.
Yes.
If it was just like an email, I would feel like they were inhuman.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Let's talk about your experience with New York.
Yes.
Tell me about your favorite part, your least favorite part, and just what your initial thoughts are on the city.
So I've been coming to New York for years. I always tell people my first impression of New York was when I was sent here by Merrill Lynch. I used to work for Merrill Lynch, and they sent me here on an internship. Well, it's like they do this program, you know, this training program. And I just felt like this, I had this feeling of happiness that I've never had before. And I was on my own. I didn't know anyone. But I was in my very early 20s at the time. And, you know, just my first job. And I just felt like I've made it. I'm here. I'm in New York. And it's a city that actually sucks you in. So you either love it or you hate it, I think.
I agree. Yeah.
It's not, there's no middle ground.
Yeah.
It's either you really love it or you really hate it. And I loved it. And I fell in love with it the first time. And I just wanted to come back every year. And I came back every year, at least twice a year. When I moved here, it didn't feel like I'm moving to a brand new city that I didn't know, because I've been everywhere already. And it honestly, for us, even my husband, it's like it did not feel like strange or odd or difficult. We didn't feel any of these things. We're just very excited. We found this place. That was a bit difficult, I think, finding a place, but it's fine. We found a place and everything just got together very quickly. And we do not regret our move, not one second. So what I like about New York is the energy, the people, the richness of the city. Like, I've lived in many cities. So I lived in Paris, I've lived in London, and I've traveled a lot with my parents. And I can tell you there's something that New York has that no other city has. I mean, Paris is beautiful, don't get me wrong, and I miss it and everything, but there is something about New York, and they say when you live in New York, you can't live anywhere else.
Right.
And I see why, because you're going to miss all of that. And it's just this energy, like even when you're in the street, if you're not overwhelmed by it, you get sucked in and it just uplifts you, I think. I love that.
I think it's definitely also like your personality.
Yeah, maybe.
Sometimes I feel like, because I think I'm well-traveled and I love Europe, especially Paris.
Yeah.
I love it there. And sometimes I think like, wow, these Europeans are actually doing life right.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're more easygoing. They know how to enjoy life.
Of course,
And then sometimes I compare it to New Yorkers, and I'm like, we're always stressed. We're always, you know, go, go, go. We're not really enjoying life sometimes.
I'm going to disagree with that, because Parisians are very stressed, and I've lived there, and I can tell you they are very stressed.
Really? Maybe it's just, like, again, like this perception. Like
it's
this,
a perception, again, because they are the most stressed people. They are very, very stressed, and they're always like, I love the city, and I always tell them, you should enjoy it. You live in one of the best cities in the world, but I think they are very stressed. The way they drive, they're stressed. They're more stressed than Londoners, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. But because I live there, I can tell you
that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the way you adapt to things and the way you see things,
totally,
right?
Yeah.
And I find that the human nature is amazing because you just adapt.
So quickly.
So
quickly. It's crazy.
It's amazing.
So like, you've been speaking so much great things about the city.
Yes.
But what is one thing you wish you can change?
The garbage situation.
Right.
It's especially in the summer. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. It's just, I don't know what is going on, but I don't know why the garbage lingers so long on the pavement, and it shouldn't. I know they come and pick it up and everything, but the smells, this is just the worst.
Yeah.
This is the only thing that I don't like. And I know, like, some people complain about the noise and stuff, but again, you get used to the noise, I think, but the smells, you don't.
Right, yeah. I feel like nowadays, because I'm a native, I'm, like, immune to it.
Yeah,
like, I don't even know what it means to, like, have a smelly subway, because for me, that's normal.
Yeah, yeah, no, I can imagine. I can imagine. Again,
but when I do travel, I'm like, oh, my God, this place is spotless.
Yes.
Which is how really our city should be.
It should be, yes. I think they should just do something with this bad garbage collection.
I think it's also the people. I mean, it's kind of sad, but I think there is definitely an improvement that can be made with just being more environmental friendly and conscious.
100%.
A lot of people are just not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's a slow movement going.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have to, we are forced to recycle. Mm-hmm. So we do it, and I'm happy to do it, and I think it's a great thing that we have to do it, and we have recycling bins, and like they teach them at school now. It's very important. You have to don't litter, mm-hmm. don't throw anything on the floor.
Right.
Everything goes in like the proper bin stuff, which is I think it's great. I mean, remember, we grew up, they never really taught us this, so
right.
It's all a new concept.
Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit.
Yes.
And I want to know, as a mom and a full-time blogger and just somebody who is not originally from New York, what keeps you up at night? And when I ask this, I mean, it can be literally like picking up your son from school, you know, but just like, currently, what are your, I guess, reoccurring concerns or struggles that you've been recently experiencing?
I think they're related to my son. For example, like something maybe when he's ill or he's not feeling himself or when my husband's stressed, I feel all of that. You kind of feel it. Mm-hmm. And it keeps you up because you worry, right? You want them to be happy. And also, like, I think maybe his future, which school I'm going to send him to. So that goes on a lot in my head. And other stuff is work-related. So projects I'm working on, I need to email this person, I need to do this. But I think I do a very good job in, in just controlling that stress, because I've had a very stressful job in the past.
Right.
So you learn how to prioritize. And another thing is, I think when you're a mom, you put everything in perspective. So your priorities change. So the little things don't matter anymore. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. So, you know, when you're, you know, 20s, you worry about the little things and everything's so dramatic and everything. But then when you grow up, you just put things in perspective. And this is a great feeling. And also, as I said, I come from a very stressful job, so I know how to just find solution to problems, because they ask you to, and it's the way it is. And also, I lived on my own when I was 17, so I kind of taught myself how to find solutions to everything. It helps a lot. It helps a lot when you just, like, think about it. It's not that important. You can sort it out, blah, blah, blah. So, and then, yeah, I usually sleep well.
That's great to hear. And like when I ask, it's not like I'm thinking everybody has issues. I think sometimes it's important to celebrate your wins and celebrate when you're having a great
life
right now, you know?
We all have issues, I think.
No, totally.
Some sort, like it's all big it's or life. It's just life. It's normal. It's part of who you are, but it's just how you deal with them, I think.
No, I think you hit on such a great point. Guys, Isis is sick, so excuse her coughing.
I'm so sorry.
But she's still here, so
yes,
thank
I'm
you.
Here.
Yeah, I think it definitely is mindset. I remember also, just like when I was a child, I was so concerned about like my grades.
Yes.
Like I was that type who, also I didn't want to miss school. Like I wanted like perfect attendance, or like if I got, I always wanted just like to be on my best behavior and the teachers to like me and just like all this little stuff.
I know.
And then it's crazy because as you grow up, there might be an issue, whatever the case is, with work or like an altercation with your friend or significant other.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I would get so hung up on it.
Yes.
And then it's like when you take a step back and you're like, my question I always ask myself is, will this matter in 5 years? And often it's no.
No, exactly. It's part of life and experience again.
Right. So wait, when you were an investment banker, were you pregnant at the time or were you completely?
I was pregnant towards the end.
Okay.
So I got pregnant towards the end and I left after my maternity leave.
Okay. Yeah. I only asked just to see if you were, I guess, juggling between being a mom and also being.
It's almost impossible in this field, I have to say. Like it was. When you have, I think, a child, I was working 7 to 7, so it would mean that I would never see him. And that was also part of my choice, I think, that I wanted to spend more time with him and be available, be more flexible. I know some women do it, but I chose to spend more time with him and be more flexible.
This could not have been a better, I guess, transition because my previous guest, Helen, she's from Australia.
Okay.
And she's a mom. I think her son is about 1 year old, and she was talking about just her struggle with balancing her professional life and personal life because she's very driven, very ambitious, like boss babe, but sometimes she feels guilty just for, I don't want to say like putting herself first, but by chasing her dreams and goals while obviously her child is her priority.
Of course.
So I would like to ask you, I guess, how do you balance that? And like, is there a constant struggle with maybe obviously being the best mom you can be, but also taking care of yourself?
So for me, it's basically he goes to preschool from 8:39 until 5:30 every day. So this is my time. But when I'm with him, I'm completely with him. So I don't answer emails. I don't take calls. I don't do anything. And it's just because it's so precious, and it's all about organization, I think. So you just do whatever you have to do during the day, and the weekends and the evening is just with him. And I think at this age now, he's coming to an age where he just notices things, so I can't just be on my phone with him. It's impossible. So he would be like, he would just snatch my phone out or something like that. So
they need that, like, attention.
They
right?
need your attention. They need you to read them books. They need you to just talk to them. You know, they need you to, like, they have... It's just like, it's not, he's not a baby anymore. So this is the time where he actually started interacting with us. And the phone is not an option, or like emails and stuff like that. So, and it's fine. It's fine. It's just all about organizing yourself. So finish everything you have to do during the day and then just forget your phone in the evening and the weekends. So sometimes I have to work on weekends, but that's fine. His dad will take him to the park. We'll spend the day together, and that's absolutely fine. But when I am with him, I try not to mix.
But you do think that's from your background, right? As being like, was organization always a strength of yours?
Yes, absolutely. I had to be organized. I had no choice. It's coming from investment bank where it's actually quite a good career, I would say, but they teach you a lot of things. They teach you to be extremely organized because you work with numbers, so you cannot be wrong. And they teach you work ethics, discipline. So all of this is due to my background. You have to be extremely organized. You have no choice. Otherwise, you end up making a mistake. And mistakes in this field are huge. So we're not talking about tiny mistakes. We're talking about people's money. So
yeah, you don't want to mess that up.
Yeah.
So So wait, were you like this even before investment banking? Like, just do you think it's like just part of growing up, or like your innate in your personality traits?
I was always very yeah. meticulous. So always, like, you know, my desk would be clean, my things would be like put in boxes.
You were one of those.
Yes, I'm one of those. I love things to be clean, and right. like, you know, like my house is like impeccable. And I have a child, so I'm always yeah, like, you know, hard. Cleaning yeah. after him. But then, I mean, I think when you have a child, you kind of learn to let go a little bit.
Right, for sure.
But don't worry, when he goes to sleep, I clean everything. I just don't like mess.
No, I think it's very, very hard, because sometimes you feel like you spend hours cleaning yeah. and it just takes that 5 minutes to yeah. just ruin everything.
I know, but it is what it is, yeah. you know. I also teach him to clean up before he goes to
bed.
That's good. So he's got this box. Mm-hmm. He puts everything in there, and then he can go to bed.
Right. Yeah. Got to teach them early yeah. habits. So I also want to, go towards more of like the serious side, building up on what keeps you up at night.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the confession component. And I mentioned this prior to us recording that it's not really a secret, but just like, you know, I know people hold so much burden every single day,
mm-hmm.
and some people don't. It's not like to say that everybody, you know, has this like deep, dark secret. But if you can just, I guess, talk about maybe a confession that you have that you like to share, that you could think would be helpful to others, or just something that you want to get off your chest, what would
that be? Yeah, well, you know, I had this, actually it's a great question, because we had this parent reunion the other day, and the teacher was telling us how they've started teaching the kids about self-love. Mm-hmm. And self-love for me is an alien concept, because I grew up in a system where they would tell you that it's never enough. So whatever you do, it's not enough. You can do better. You have to do better. So I think this affects me a lot. And I feel like my confidence sometimes suffers, especially in this competitive field that we are in. I hate doing it, but you always end up comparing yourself. And it kind of, my self-confidence takes a big hit. Because obviously there are younger people out there, there are better people. There will always be younger and better people, but it's just, I think you need to like work on, I need to work on, it's okay. It's the way it is. Just do your own thing. Keep doing your own thing. Find your niche. And you just keep doing what you're doing. And it's sometimes I'm full of self-doubt. And especially when like working by myself, and there isn't anyone really you can talk to about. Even like if I talk to my husband, he's like, "No, you're doing great." You know, he's trying to help and trying to like push me up and stuff. But it's just that it's very difficult on a day-to-day basis. And when I worked in a bank, I had evaluations.
I know exactly what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
You know,
someone mm-hmm. would tell me you're doing a great job, whereas now I just don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm myself evaluator, right? So it's very difficult. I think sometimes like you're full of self-doubt, and I almost gave up a few times, I have to say. I'm going to be very honest, because you just see that there are so many good people out there, and there's like you're getting completely crushed, but not really actually, because there's room for everyone, right? But I don't know. I don't know if you felt that as well at some point, but it's very like, especially when you're on your own, you like in your thoughts and stuff, like maybe I should do something else. Maybe this is not working.
No, I can totally relate. I also told you just, I was one of those like type A mm-hmm. and really serious about school.
Yeah.
But I actually enjoy school, because like the first day of yeah. classes, they would give you a curriculum, right?
Yeah.
Or your syllabus, whatever. And they would tell you up front since day one, okay, you're going to have 5 tests,
mm-hmm.
5 essays, or mm-hmm. whatever the case is. And on those, they would tell you, like, you need to get this amount of grade or whatever to get an A.
Yes.
So, like, you knew off the bat. There was no speculation, no doubt. And it's basically a formula. You check it off.
Yes.
You know, if you pass this, you're going to get an A. And I think that's why I enjoyed it, because for me, I was competing with myself.
Yes.
If I want to study and I need to study,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I needed to study in order to get this grade.
Yeah.
So that was a self-reflection on my work ethic and my discipline.
Mm-hmm.
But now, after college, I'm like, and then obviously leaving my previous job where you did kind of get evaluated.
Yes.
You did know, yes. you know, what responsibilities there
of
are.
Of course.
You're kind of like, I don't, you, yeah, like you said, there's no Bible. There's no check-off list. I mean, you have to do tasks. But
yes, but how do you know you're doing the right thing? How do you,
you
know?
Don't.
Yeah, you never do. And it's very difficult, I think, because it's, I, don't get me wrong, I think it's great to self-doubt and put yourself in, like, you know, just change things mm-hmm. and make yourself a better person, but just self-doubt sometimes can consume you, and it's, and it can put you down and your moral and everything. So, it's a long process, and I need to work on that.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I want to know. I know you were talking about like the whole self-love and self-doubt with
mm-hmm.
the, I guess, blogging industry.
Yes.
Do you ever get doubt of like being a mom? Like, is there any, I don't want to say competition, but like, I don't know if you have like mom friends, because I think there is, from what I've
yes.
seen, because my mom, my sister is a mom. Like, sometimes moms can be a little judgmental, right?
Yes, of course.
Your parenting skills
yeah.
or whatever the case
oh, yeah.
is. So can you talk a little bit about that?
So I am very lucky to have nice moms around me, I have to say. I don't have these toxic, bitchy moms around me. Thankfully, I don't have that. And to be perfectly honest, I do doubt myself sometimes as a mom, but I am doing everything I can to be my best mom, the best mom or the best version of myself with him. And I learn from my parent mistakes, and I'm trying not to do the same thing. I'll maybe just like correct that, because, you know, children remember everything, and everything you say, your the impressions, everything stays. So you have to be, I'm not saying you have to be careful with everything you say, but you actually kind of have to be careful the way you raise your child, because everything stays. So, you know, you just remember everything. There is no competition as such yet, but I think it's going to come. and I'm going to try to just avoid being around people like that, because this is what I do. I just don't hang out with people who make me miserable, mm-hmm. who have negative energy on me. I just cut them out. And I've always done that. And I think my life is better like that. So if they are making me miserable, if they are making my life miserable or difficult, I'm just going to stay away. It's very simple. Because we have enough stress in our life. We don't need more.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just try. When it comes to my boy, I'm just trying to be my best self and better every day. And I know that he just wants to know everything. So I just answer all his questions. I'm here for him. I pick him up from school. I drop him in the morning. So and he loves that. He loves that. His parents, both of them, are very present. And we're gonna try and keep it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know your son, I don't know you that well, but just from speaking with you, I can tell that you are like an amazing mom.
Thank you.
And I try. Like, you have your shit together. Like, I know that some people might be like, I don't know, I hear a lot of people say just that being a mom is extremely difficult, and I'm not, you know,
yeah.
underestimating or undervaluing what you guys do, because it is a full time job.
It is.
And I don't think moms get enough recognition for what they do. It's probably one of the hardest jobs in the world.
It is the hardest job. It's even harder than my previous job.
Totally.
I'm telling you now. The beginning was difficult when he was born. The first year was extremely difficult, I'm not gonna lie. And I had a bit of you know, postpartum depression, just a tiny bit, not too much, because I felt like I was a little bit trapped, and he was, yeah, your life changes. And the first month, you're like, you have this baby in your hands, and like, I want to do so many things, but I can't. And I have a baby in my arms. But all of this goes away. It all goes away. And then again, it is the best thing that I've ever done. And there is nothing I regret, and I will do it all over again. But it's just, It's very difficult. I'm not going to lie. The beginnings are very difficult, but then when you get used to it, and then you just see this little, you know, human being turning into like this,
a person. A soul,
And he's just the most amazing boy, and he's great, and he's balanced, he's self-confident, and he loves life, and just his world is just amazing. And I'm, that makes me so happy, honestly.
Aww. That's so sweet. I know. I mean, I obviously want to be a mom one day.
Cool. It's the best thing you'll ever do, honestly. Yeah. It's it's so rewarding. And it's like, you'll never love anyone like that.
I know. I hear that all the time. They're like, oh, I thought I loved my husband. But
it's nothing like loving your child. Honestly, it's just beyond everything else. You'll give everything for him. Yeah,
your heart is just like full of like so much joy.
Oh yeah, I mean, seeing him happy is my best. Like my
makes you happy.
Yeah, it's my best achievement, I guess. He is my best achievement. Yeah. So when I'm down, the days I'm down, I just think to myself, well, I have a very happy, healthy boy, and
that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Yeah, and you know. I just, you know what, I just forget about it, and then I just keep going. It's amazing.
That's such a great note to, like,
wrap this up with. Honestly, just, count your blessings. Mm-hmm. Remember always, like, you have a good life. You have no reason to be unhappy. You have everything you need. And, you know, I've worked for it. It didn't come like that. It's just like, I've worked for where I am today. I've worked my relationship with my husband. It's, of course, couples... Like, you know, a couple of relationships are not easy either, but you work towards it and you just find the balance. And when you find it, it's great. It's like no effort and it's just working, you know? So that's where we are now, touch wood.
I'm actually just smiling because I'm so happy for you. Like,
Thank you.
Feel like I would say, like, last year for me was like soul searching. Just personally, and I think this year, the word that I would like to achieve is balance.
Yeah,
balance. I think once you feel grounded and just so secure and trusting the path that you're at and trusting that everything is going to fall into place,
yes,
that's when you're at peace.
I agree.
And peace to me is actually much more fulfilling than happiness.
Yes,
because happiness is fleeting. It's it's temporary. It's, you know, it's more of, it's almost intangible. I feel like if you feel happiness for a moment, it can totally be taken away.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Yeah, but you're right. Peace is just. I was talking to my sister before I came here on the phone, and she's going through a rough patch. And I said to her, "You need to find your peace." Mm-hmm. And I said to her that, and. She's like, yes, you're right. I mean, even if it takes talking to someone or like seeing someone, you have to find your peace and like make peace with your past and make just.
Yeah, you have to. What I did last year. And good. That's why we had this conversation
exactly
a while ago. But just I'm so much more just calm. But that's not to say that that's permanent. You know, I wake up and I have bad days, and I
that's okay.
Sometimes forget to count my blessings. That's when you mention it, I'm like, I need to do that today. So it's just, this is life. You have to kind of go with the, you know, roll with it, but just be mindful of everything that you have instead of just reacting so instantly to like the problem at hand. And there's always a solution.
Always. I'm the one who tells you there's always a solution to everything. Like, again, I've been through very rough times. Don't get me wrong. It's not always been like that. But you work towards, you know, this balance and this peace. And it's just about making the right decision. I made bad decisions, honestly, all my life. But I've dated really, like, awful men in the past. And, like, you know, you just... work towards this balance, and when you find it, it's amazing. Again, nothing lasts forever, but you work on that. Again, it's fine. Problems will come, problems will go, but you just, it's the way you deal with them as well. And then when you have a like solid base, it helps a lot, I think.
I would like to take this moment to just acknowledge you and thank you honestly for taking your time out of your day.
No, thank you for having me.
Because I know you're sick. And just the fact that you were really, I guess, stuck to your word and your commitment to this time block that we've had. Because you could have totally been like, listen, girl, I'm sick. I can't be here.
No, I didn't want to cancel on you. No way.
So I really, really appreciate you. And just also from like our personal encounters, I love your vibe and your positive energy.
Thank you. Same here.
And I think you teach me a lot just to be a little more, even though I claim that I'm calm, I can always be more calm. And again, like I mentioned previously, I think you really have your shit together. And I know you may not always.
Yeah.
But when I'm with you, I'm like, wow, if she can do it, if she is a full-time mom, also does blogging full-time, is a wife, is, you know, like you wear so many hats.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you're so calm, cool, and collective, I have no excuse to be a mess. I mean, I can be, clearly, you know, it's appropriate at times.
It's totally fine
but
to,
you
like,
need to
freak
like,
out sometimes.
Yeah.
But like,
you
just,
need to regroup sometimes.
Exactly.
So thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. That was really nice.
One more thing before we wrap it up. What are you currently working on? Or like, what can people... I mean, I'm going to obviously leave all your information in the description.
Yes.
But just what are you up to right now?
So at the moment, we're just working on... I'm just working on projects within New York. And I'm planning a few trips for later this year, from May, I think. And we're going to spend 1 month in Europe this summer. So
where?
We're going to do London, Paris, and Italy. So I'm going to be documenting all of that. I'm excited.
When is that? Like August?
Or the whole month of July.
Oh, so. But isn't the weather crazy at that time?
No, it's actually good.
Really?
No, yeah.
But then it's also really packed because that's peak time.
Yes, it is peak time. But that's when I'm meeting with my family there. We're just having a family reunion. And then we're going to just take advantage of that to just... We have a couple of weddings as well. So.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we made a whole trip out of it. Yeah. So we spent 1 whole month away from New York.
Wow,
we're like, what?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're going to have so much fun.
That's going to be amazing, I think. But I think I'm going to miss New York.
Yeah, but then you'll be back for August.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly, yeah.
You're fine.
Oh, I always miss New York when I leave it. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Wow, you're gonna be a New Yorker.
Yeah, I think so.
I think sometimes because I'm a native and I'm like, oh, I wear it, you know, with a badge of honor. But I do think some people are made to be New Yorkers and they were just not lucky enough to be born here. So that doesn't mean that they can never be a New Yorker.
No, I agree 100%. Yeah. I hope I can be one day.
Okay, Isis, thank you so much for being here. And
thank
I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Again, you can find Isis. I'll leave her information in the description and stay tuned for the next episode. Okay.
Thank you so much, Marianne.